And a hearty hello to all of you out there. And, of course, thank you for your service to all of the veterans out there, deceased and alive, too. Hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this day. And we're here. We're going to have a lot of fun within the hour today. We're going to talk about a couple of things going on in the city entertainment-wise. And I think you'll understand and enjoy what we have to say today. First, we're going to journey on down the street. Not too far. I used to say if my arm was in good shape, I could probably throw a rock all the way from 39th Street, where we are right now, all the way to 36th. but probably not. That's probably an exaggeration. Down to the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater down at 3614 Main, where they are about to open on Thursday, November 14th. The musical, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. An interesting show, a lot of funny sidelights associated with the show. And with us to tell us all about it is Tim Brazelton. He is the musical director of the show, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And Karen Paisley, the director, sent him down. Since Karen was promoted to be on the show, she's busy with Tech Week, you say?
She is. She's got her sweatpants on, paintbrush in hand, and she's wailing away down there, having a good time, of course.
Well, you would love to have Karen here even in sweatpants. but that doesn't mean I'm not glad to have you here with us today.
I'm pleased to be here.
Let's hear a little bit about Tim. He's been involved with community and professional theaters around the Kansas City area, sings with the Kansas City Symphony. Accordion player.
I played
the accordion in my youth. What was it like for you to lug around that big thing?
It's been a while since I've lugged it anywhere.
Me too.
I kind of keep it hidden in storage right now. But it was interesting lugging something around twice your size.
I think mine got traded in for a pool table. That's true.
It might be a wise venture. I'll keep that in mind.
You could probably use it at gigs.
The pool table?
The accordion.
Okay.
Well, the gigs too.
I'll keep that in mind for Oktoberfest.
A mandolin player. Will sing for or play for weddings, funerals, or as I quoted him before we went on the air, basically anything that pays.
Anything that pays.
Tell the people the theaters around here where you have either done music or performed as an actor.
I've been involved with the Barn Players and Mission, Shawnee Mission Theater in the Park, the Olathe Community Theater, Jewish Community Center, Lee Summit, Independence. I've done some stuff up north. Just recently was really thrilled, well, about a year ago now, to have done a song in Carmina Burana with the ballet.
Oh, wow.
At the Kaufman. That was exciting.
So you sung but did not dance?
No. I mean, it says on my resume I danced with the Kansas City Ballet, but they just told me to wave my arms.
I would put it down, too.
It's all about billing.
That's true. Well, you have a lot of experience then, and Karen picked you to be the musical director for How to Succeed in Business.
She did. I was flattered when she called, and even more flattered when she offered me the job, and it's been a good fun run. I've really enjoyed it. This is my first show with the Met, and it's been a very different experience from some of the other places that I've been at, as they all are, but a great learning experience, tons of fun, and they put on a great amount of work there every year, and the quality is always pretty superb. Can I say pretty superb?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll use that as a legit phrase.
Gorgeously superb.
Gorgeously superb.
And, you know, I kid her all the time, and she always shushes me. I don't believe I've ever seen her get a bad review in the paper. If there was one, I missed it.
I don't think I've seen one either. I certainly would never give one for anything that I've seen there. I've always been just very, very impressed.
Me too. Yeah. Very good job. They are about to open, or will open, I would say, this Thursday, the 14th. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. It was a big Broadway success.
Mm-hmm.
It became a movie. That was back when they... That was... Tim's a young guy. This was back actually when they... made movies after they made the stage play. Yeah. They do it differently nowadays.
Yeah.
The movie becomes first, and then they make it into a stage play.
It seems like we're dilly-dallying between the two a lot now.
Yes.
But yeah, there was a movie, which to my knowledge was not a musical. Is that correct? I haven't seen it.
The movie?
Yes.
No, they sang.
They did sing?
Michelle Lee sang.
Well, maybe I'm thinking something else. Anyway, but the show that we're doing has had quite a bit of success on Broadway three times now, actually. They had the original run back in the early 60s, and then back in the 90s, I believe, that might have been.
Could be.
With Matthew Broderick. And Megan Mullally, and then most recently with Harry Potter himself, Daniel Radcliffe, on Broadway.
He was Finch, I assume.
He was Finch, yes, he was. And actually, not a bad turn for him. It was fun to watch, entertaining.
Well, he seems like he would be a little young, but perhaps it worked out.
Yes, that baby face thing.
That's right.
It's the curse we all bear.
Well, let me just start. I'll let Tim continue. Let me just start. What makes it such an entertaining show to watch is the premise. A window washer, a very yes. ambitious window washer, purchases this book. The name of the book is entitled How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And it goes step by step, chapter by chapter, how to move yourself up in this company. And Mr. Finch goes about doing this, doesn't he?
He does indeed. It's entertaining to watch one of the uniquely, one of the early signs that gives you a clue as to the kind of character he really is after he gets hired on at this firm, the Worldwide Wicket Company, whatever a wicket is, we never do really find that out, but it's fun to imagine. Once he gets hired there, he kind of has a little bit of a moment where he's frustrated that he's been there for a whole week and nobody seems to have noticed. And you know, and that kind of gives you a clue as to the kind of person he is. And then, of course, throughout the course of the show, he goes from window washer to a high-powered executive, probably pulling down six figures.
In a matter of
2.5 hours, you know, which is why one of the many reasons I wish life were more like theater.
Well, yeah. Don't you wish you could buy a book and go chapter
exactly.
by chapter?
Exactly.
As I recall, and I'm not going to give too much away. Well, I have to
well,
be
of course. Yeah.
For instance, you get your feet in the floor going to, and I believe one of his early positions after a day or so was junior executive. And so he turns to the next chapter. Well, your next challenge is to get from junior executive to the next level as quick as you can.
Exactly. Well, and there are humorous little bits all the way through there. The book voice, or as the narrator is reading from the book, he is told, now you're in the mailroom. Congratulations. This is a place out of which you want to quickly get.
That's right.
Which tickles me every time. There are a number of very clever things in the show. And one of the other things that I think is really interesting and entertaining to see is this is a strong representation, if you know how to look at it, of the of things going on in society at the time and social norms. And now we look at it and go, are you kidding me? I mean, it's almost entertaining just from that perspective to see how, especially women's roles have changed. Now, this isn't, not to say that it's degrading whatsoever. I don't feel like it's degrading, but it is kind of comical to look at how it's all changed. One of the more entertaining numbers in the piece, for me anyway, is a song called A Secretary Is Not a Toy, which is... it's a high energy piece, let's put it that way, and to watch the guys dance around and be yanked around by the women is that's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Well, it tells us a lot also about, you know, the psyche of the culture.
Absolutely.
And without giving away any plot lines or anything, people double deal other people, stab
exactly.
people in the back, not literally, but job-wise.
It truly is. There's the romantic element there. There's the slightly more lustful element represented. There's the power issue, the greed issue. It all comes into play, and it's all very lighthearted. But it does have a lot of good things to say, I feel like. But Frank Lesser, who wrote the music, he's done that kind of thing before, most famously with Guys and Dolls. It's the same kind of thing, and the music has the same fun quality to it, and it also for me as the music director, I've enjoyed working on Frank Lesser because his music to the ear sounds fairly simple. I mean, it's all very singable. Who doesn't hum Luck Be a Lady for like 2 weeks after you hear it once, you know? But I think that's one of the tricks of Frank Lesser. He's a brilliant composer, and he wrote these phenomenal things that sound fairly uncomplicated, but in order to do them well, it's not easy. The music is a lot harder than it sounds. And so that's how you know when you've heard it done well, is when you actually get it, when it
sure.
sounds easy.
Well, this kind of begs a question, and I don't know. Maybe you don't know either, but I'll just
sure.
throw it out there for the audience. In most cases, you know, the book, the storyline is written first, and then they will write the music to kind of match that. But there have been occasions when it has been done the other way. Do you know how it worked this time?
I'm not for sure, and I don't know that anybody who worked on that is still living, so
okay.
that may be one
Can't
of the lost
them,
great
yeah.
mysteries. We may never know. That and the pyramids, you know?
That's true. I have theories about that.
I don't know that there were aliens involved in the writing of this show.
I have talked to people who believe that very sincerely. I've seen speakers and all of that. But at any rate, Finch, J. Pierpont Finch, mm-hmm. has a love interest in the story.
He does. And she's another one of those that's a really interesting character to watch as she develops. She puts herself in the societal place. She sings this song that has several reprisals in the show, where it's called Happy to Keep His Dinner Warm. Huh. And it's all about being stay-at-home, you know, the June Cleaver wearing the apron and the pearls and, you know, happy to keep his dinner warm while he looks through me, right through me. And she seems to be okay with that. She wants him to kind of ignore her a little bit, I think, as the wife. And it's just really entertaining to me because I don't think there's anybody like that anymore.
I don't think so either. Kind of a bygone era.
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, in the day of Condoleezza and Hillary, I mean, and Oprah, I don't think that that's really a thing anymore. But she longs for the days to be a stay-at-home wife and, you know, and doing, again, the June Cleaver, you know, doing the twirl with her petticoats when she goes to answer the phone. It's just fun to watch that because this is such a different time. And it's very entertaining. Very, very entertaining.
I know it is. I've seen the show before. We're speaking with Tim Brazelton. He is the musical director for How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, the new offering at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. It opens this Thursday evening, the 14th, at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue on Friday evening, on Saturday, and it looks like, as I look at the schedule, this is going to be constant for the run here. Two shows on each Saturday, and then a matinee on Sunday afternoons.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
correct.
Two shows on Saturday. That's a lot of work for those singers and dancers
oh, yeah.
and actors.
We're going to get our money's worth out of these kids.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. The audience is going to expect it.
I don't imagine that there will be any lack of energy among this cast either. They're a very, very fun, energetic group, and they have poured themselves into this. It's truly been a lot of fun to work with them. Their energy is fantastic, their dedication, their commitment. They're having a really good time doing what they're doing, and it shows.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to watch.
I'm sure it is. Now, with a lot of shows, sometimes this isn't true, but a lot of the time it is. People will say, well, you know, I know that song, but I didn't know that song came from this particular show. So let's turn to some of the numbers and whereabouts, without giving away anything
oh, sure.
critical, where they fit into the story.
Sure. The as I was when I was looking over the score when I first got it, I kept thinking, my gosh, I know these two songs in particular, and I still have not placed how I know the two songs. So you'll have to forgive me. It may be from back in my childhood. Maybe somebody did it on the Muppet Show when I was a kid. I don't know. But the song "I Believe in You" tends to be a very popular song from the show, and it's the one that I kind of remembered. And then another, Brotherhood of Man,
yes.
which is a up-tempo. It's a toe-tapper, you know. and you'll, again, that's another one that to see them go through it I don't know whether to laugh because I love what they're doing on stage, or clap because I love their energy, or it gets better every time I see them do it. And I've been through it. I've been watching it since the beginning. And so even that, I'm still getting excited. I don't know what to do with that.
Sure.
So those are the two songs that I think are probably the most recognizable from this particular show. Obviously not as big a hits as, you know, Luck Be a Lady, but then Frank Sinatra wasn't in the film version of this
one.
So
it really wasn't a part for him.
He would have
been too old to be Finch even in those days.
Although
Michelle Lee played the lead female role in the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I can't think of the young man, who it was, Robert something, who was the lead, I believe, on stage and in the movie as well.
Oh, okay.
But the show is How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, kind of a look behind the corporate culture as existed at that time, and was probably pretty much a dinosaur as far as today. But it is entertaining to watch, to see how the underhandedness of some of the people as they both Finch, as he tries to move on up, albeit rather quickly, but this is fiction. It's a musical theater, after all.
If only.
And some of the others trying to impede his path. And people often go to great lengths to do this. And
Oh, yes.
It'll probably remind some people of their own workplace on a certain level. That's what makes it so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all because of a book.
Exactly.
So you would think more people would have that book. But that's another matter. What about the dancing number? Is there a you do the musical direction? There's a number of dance numbers in the show.
There's
as well.
There's quite a bit of dancing. We've had some sort of a collaborative effort between Karen and two of our cast members that are doing the choreography. And I am not a dancer, as anyone. I mean, you can reference that part of the interview where we talked about the ballet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You were in the ballet.
Again. just an arm wave for me. But it's very. Again, the high energy really shines through. They're very clean with their dancing. And where they come up with the ideas for some of the dance moves, I have absolutely no idea. There's one section I feel like is a bit of a send-up to Liza with a Z, but I could be wrong. But again, it seems entirely appropriate to the time period that it's set in, entirely appropriate to each particular song. And just super entertaining every time I watch it. I can't get, you know, and I watch the dance shows. I get excited about certain things and not so much about other ones. But this one, they're fun to watch. Maybe it's because I'm seeing it live, which I think is part of the magic of what we do in the theater. There's something, the knowledge that anything could happen and probably will at some point during the run. But seeing it live is an incredible thrill that just takes the emotional sensitivity to a whole new level, rather than, you know, seeing it on a movie. And I do love movies, don't get me wrong. But and which, of course, I still have to check out this one. But, you know, I'll wait till the run opens. But but yeah, the dancing is super phenomenal. They're on multiple levels. They're, you know, tossing people around. There's a little bit of a tap section in there. Of course, there's the Liza send up, I think, and just a number of other sections that do really stick out in my mind. I don't want to give too much away, you know, but, you know, look for Liza and then call me when you see her.
Yeah, well, we're speaking with Tim Brazelton. He's the music director. We're telling you about How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Opens up this Thursday at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. The number to call for more information is 816-569-3226 or online at metkc.org. We're speaking with Tim. We've covered a lot of the music. And is it going to be, has Karen decided to do it in period back in the 60s? Or?
Yeah, we are. We've got a fantastic array of pillbox hats lined up, you know, all kinds of Jackie O tributes sort of lined up in the costume room. The men's suits, I think, are very entertaining if not exactly attractive, but then that time period never really did appeal to me, as far as fashion goes. it's kind of fun when they started putting on the costumes, watching the characters, which were already pretty well developed, suddenly come to a whole new life because they had this double-breasted, you know, three-piece suit that they suddenly had to work with, and, you know, and the large lapels, and, you know, and sort of the loud patterns and things, and it suddenly added another layer, another dimension to the characters, and we've got some pretty stellar performances coming out already, I think, to watch them grow exponentially as the... goodness, I can't wait to see what happens when we slap a mic pack on them.
Ah! Yeah. it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
It's a high-energy show. Lots going on. Come with a clear head, because who's backstabbing who and who's double-dealing whom, you might be interested in maybe taking notes.
Exactly. Well, and it's definitely worth keeping your eyes open in, because as I've watched Karen work with the actors and with the scenes, she didn't pay me to say this, but she's got a gift. She really does. She has created a number of really entertaining things that happen in the background, and a lot of slight little nods here and there, or a look or whatever, just different things that when you look for them and you see them will just make it all that much more entertaining. Between watching her work and then watching Bud Frump, who's one of the guys trying to stop J. Pierpont from advancing. Which is played by the incredibly capable Tony Beasley. Super entertaining to watch. There's not a night where he's always on. He is always on. Not to say that the rest of the cast isn't, but he absolutely cracks me up absolutely every single night. Just very super entertaining, lots to look for, and Karen, again, has really done some fantastic work with this one. I'm very, very pleased.
It opens this Thursday night, runs through the 1st of December, basically a Thursday, Friday, two on Saturday, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, a Sunday afternoon matinee, then the following week, Thursday the 21st, again, Thursday, Friday, two on Saturday, Sunday matinee, a Monday night performance on the 25th of November, what are they calling that these
days?
The
industry night.
An industry night performance. Then performances again Friday the 29th, Thursday that week, at least as far as the schedule that I look
at. Yeah, that would be Thanksgiving.
That's right. That would be Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that little holiday we sneak in there.
Friday the 29th, again, two performances, one at 2, one at 7:30 on Saturday, and then it closes on December 1st, Sunday, with a matinee at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in there. I wrote 2:30. Why did I do that? 2 o'clock afternoon matinee at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater, 3614 Main. The number to call, 816-569-3226. 3226, and online at metkc.org. She always picks a great season. What are some of the words? Well, we're down to about 4 minutes, but
sure.
What other shows are upcoming in the season at the Met?
Well, coming up next is M. Butterfly, which starts on January 8th. All kinds of exciting things going on there. Linda Audibrand, a local well-known director, is going to be directing that. Bob Brand and V. Tran, local singer-songwriter, fantastic guy, they're going to be leading in that. The other exciting thing about that is Jamie Guan, who was part of the choreography for the original Broadway production of M. Butterfly, is coming, going to be an artist in residence. And he's going to be working with the choreography on that one, which should be very exciting. Hoping also, Karen said when I was dialoguing with her about this a little earlier, hoping to do a sort of a community meet and greet thing with him, so that people can understand a little bit more about what went into that. That is super exciting. M. Butterfly, lots of fun there. The Night of the Iguana by Tennessee Williams. good times, I'm sure.
Yeah, those Williams shows are so hilarious.
Exactly. So. I mean, just absolute knee slappers. That comes in February, which is exciting. And then the classic Steel Magnolias, one of my favorites. Laugh and cry every single time. It's better than Cats. April on that one. And then the perennial King and I comes in June, which will be very exciting. So all kinds of award-winning shows that we're remounting at the Met. Always, you know, always the best of the local people involved in those productions. So that should be a pretty exciting series or season. And I am kind of excited to see Jamie Gwan come in and work with M. Butterfly. That should be super super informational. And then, of course, to watch V. Tran work, and then Bob Brand and Linda Audie Brand, their work has always been good, too.
And Bob and Linda are so great. Bob is just a wealth of knowledge about so many things.
Yeah.
Ask him about Charles Dickens, he knows. Ask him about,
exactly.
He just has a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Should have been teaching theatrical history or something, or maybe he has.
That could be. It's always fun to be around people who know things.
Oh, he does. Makes for a great talk. Show host.
And
guest.
Exactly,
well.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Some of us know a lot, but it's of no use. You know? A mind full of useless knowledge.
But I can take you for a ride at Trivial Pursuit.
That's right.
And get all my pie pieces.
Oh, that's right. I'm really good at that, as you can imagine. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying opens this Thursday, the 14th, at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater for three straight weekends. The number to call for more information, 816-569-3226, or on the web at metkc.org. I want to thank my guests for sitting in for Ms. Paisley today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you for
having
me.
Delight to meet you.
Absolutely.
And, tap your knowledge. He's a fellow, we both belong to the fraternity of former accordion players.
You had to say it again.
I think it's just fascinating. I really do. Tim Brazelton, he's the music director for How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, opening in just a few days at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
When we return after our break, we're going to talk a little bit about classical music with the New Era Production Company, the 21st year of New Era. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. It's Hammer time once again. Chris Hemsworth returns as Marvel Comics' interplanetary Norse god in Thor: The Dark World. Thor recruits the aid of his villainous brother Loki to help repel an invasion by an enemy trying to bring annihilation to the known universe. The eye candy is impressive, and Hemsworth is a worthy superhero, but Thor: The Dark World delivers no more and no less than you'd expect. But it's a notch below the Iron Man and Avengers flicks. Robert Redford is likely to receive an Oscar nomination for his solo performance in the suspenseful thriller All Is Lost. It plays like an Earth-based variation of Gravity. Redford is sailing in the open ocean when his boat is disabled and his radio is busted. He must rely on his ingenuity and desire to live in order to meet the insurmountable challenge he's faced with. Like Gravity, it's a deceptively simple story that forces audience members to consider the value of a single human life. Naomi Watts does the best she can with an insipid script in Diana, a film that deals with the last two sad years in the life of the late Princess of Wales. The focus is on her romantic relationship with a Pakistani Brit, Dr. Hasnat Khan, a heart surgeon. Princess Diana was a spirited and warm personality. In contrast, the movie is dull and lifeless. You can't blame Watts, but Diana is a royal downer. Also opening this week, The Human Scale is a documentary about the increasing population shift from rural areas to urban areas. The Prime Minister's The Pioneers is an insider's documentary about some of Israel's former leaders. Gangland Wire is a locally made documentary about the Kansas City Mafia. And We the People is an IMAX documentary about the founding of the U.S., produced and directed by Kansas City's own Amy Larrabee. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
Welcome to This Week on Stage, underwritten by KC Stage Magazine, your most comprehensive source for performing arts in Kansas City. Find out what's playing at kcstage.com. Opening this week, The Wiz, The Coterie Theater, The Discovery Project, Trilis and Cressida, UMKC Theater, This week only, Beyond Glory with Stephen Lang, Carlson Center of JCCC, An Evening with Rita Moreno, Carlson Center of JCCC, the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, Lead Center of Kansas, Memphis, Lead Center of Kansas, pianist Luis Fernando Perez, International Center for Music, Park University. Still playing this week, Forever Plaid, Chestnut Fine Arts Theater, Your Hit Parade, Quality Hill Playhouse, Drood, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, The Barn Players, Inc., Les Miserables, The White Theater, Never Too Late, New Theater Restaurant, Musical Mondays 2013, Musical Theater Heritage. Closing this week, The Magic Flute, Lyric Opera of Kansas City, The Parlor Series 2013, Musical Theater Heritage, Ain't Misbehavin', The Fats Waller Musical Show, Spinning Tree Theater. These shows can be reviewed online on your website at kcstage.com. Over 200 performing arts organizations listing auditions, performances, and events. Week on Stage is a public service of KC Stage Magazine and 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Have you ever heard of biomimicry? Stan Slaughter says that it could be as big as the Internet. He'll talk to Elaine Giesel on the next Echo Radio KC, Monday at 6 p.m.
This week, we travel to the Indian state of Gujarat, where anti-Muslim riots in 2002 have turned a city into a kind of ghetto, one part Hindu, the other Muslim.
For many Muslims, this is the only place they can live, because if you try to, and I tried, getting an apartment in other parts of town, no one would rent to me.
I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right before the Jazz Disciple.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to move now to a more classical vein. I like both. With us to talk about New Ear musical productions. What is the official title?
The New Ear Contemporary Chamber Ensemble.
Contemporary Chamber Ensemble. Now in their 21st season of operation. With us to tell us all about it, Dr. Andrew Grenade.
That's a strong name. Isn't
that's
it?
A very strong name.
Yeah, frighten the students all today.
Not going to crush you. He is the artistic chair of New Year Productions and also the associate producer, professor, I should say, associate professor of musicology at UMKC. Mm-hmm. And he just came from teaching this morning.
That's right. Wearing the tie from teaching.
That's right. Do you wear a tie every day?
Most days.
Yeah. Is it because it's classical music? If it was country music, would you wear a plaid shirt?
No, I have to show my authority. I'm still too young in the job.
Oh, sure. Well, I can understand. But sometimes you have to take control
That's
of
right.
the situation as well. Just a sidestep briefly, the music department, and you're an associate professor of musicology. Do they cover all types of music? Do they concentrate just on classical?
No, we do a little bit of it all. We have a thriving jazz program, of course, that Bobby Watson helps us head. We also, in our classes just last week, I was teaching my students about Bob Dylan and all the way up to the present day. We did the controversy with the Dixie Chicks and all that on a couple of years ago. So, no, we do it all.
Rap as well?
We talked about Public Enemy last week, too, so it's all in there.
Yeah, that gives for a more well-rounded, I guess.
Well, they need to know what's going on in their world around them, so we'll expose them to all of it.
Well, in your experience and all of that, you are also the artistic chair of New Ear. I should have written it all down.
Sorry. Contemporary Chamber Ensemble.
That's right. I'll write it down now. You have an event. Well, it's their 21st year, and they have an event coming up this Saturday, November 16th, at 8 o'clock p.m. over at All Souls, Unitarian Universalist Church, and it's called Tour de Force.
Tour de Force. Yeah, we have two pieces that are monumental, and in fact, when we started putting this program together, Robert Farrago, who's our pianist, will be playing on both of them. And we had to call him and say, so we want to do these two pieces back to back. Are you up for it? Because that's going to be a mammoth undertaking, because they're both incredibly virtuosic. But, of course, he's an amazing pianist and was willing to step up. So that's where the name Tour de Force comes from, really see these few instrumentalists really show their stuff this Saturday night.
Yeah, I'll bet. It's just one performance.
It's just one performance, yeah. All of our performances are pretty much one shot, and then we're done. So come out and see. And your opportunity here will be this Saturday night. hear some music that is unlike anything you've ever heard before.
In what way? What does New Ear do different from some of the other
organizations? Well, part of the reason the name New Ear comes about is that we're interested in the music that's being written today. And we're really interested in the music that is continuing the classical tradition, but it's also been informed by all of these other musics that are kind of floating around. And so you'll hear influences at any of the concerts. You'll hear influences from just all over the place. But we want you to kind of hear what people who are alive today, music that's fresh off the page, was sometimes composed last year, sometimes a couple of years ago, what that sounds like. So you can kind of hear what our world sounds like today.
Yeah, hence new
something
ear.
New ear, that's right. Something new to hear every time.
That's right. That's right. It always changes. In fact, one of the shows I saw last spring was the music. There was music, there was dance, mm-hmm. all kind of revolving around Charles Darwin. I think you saw the same show.
I did indeed, yeah. And that's one of the things that we like to do is to collaborate with a lot of the different composers and performers in the area, but also the other arts organizations. So this coming year, we're going to be collaborating with a Bach aria soloist, which usually wouldn't think new ear, new music, and J.S. Bach 250 years ago, but that's what we like to do, is shake things up a bit.
Since you mentioned it, yes, on Saturday, February 22nd, now this is a long ways out, I realize, New Era will be performing with the Bach aria soloist at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Community Christian Church. Now, what makes it a chamber orchestra rather than just a regular orchestra? I've been asked that before. I'm not sure my answer is sufficient.
Sure.
What would you say?
The original idea of chamber music was something you could do in your house. Or, you know, if you're rich, it was a very big house, but still, a few performers. And so chamber music is two performers up through a dozen. And so that's typically what you'll see at New Year's. We'll have a few performers, and it changes. Every piece has a different constellation of instruments and people all working to create this music. And so if you go to the symphony, you hear the symphony orchestra, and you have a sound that you're going to hear throughout every piece. But at a chamber ensemble, you're going to hear something different every time.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that we like about it.
That's right, yeah. What kind of guided you towards, or maybe not. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, it's not my favorite kind of music, but I'm going to assume the classical is probably your favorite.
That's what I grew up playing. So 5 years old, got into piano lessons, took piano all throughout high school and into college. That's what I was playing. And then got bit by the musicology bug, just got interested in the history and how music works. And so that kind of guided me into the musicology area. And I got really interested in, had a great professor as a graduate student who really introduced me to music being written today. Uh-huh. And I got very interested. I thought, why aren't we playing this more? Why aren't we hearing this more? Because it really speaks to the condition of our lives today, not the condition of our lives 300 years ago.
It was 2 weeks ago now, or was it one? It's hard for me to remember between recording certain shows and being live on certain shows. But one of the singers from the Lyric mm-hmm. told me that because I asked him, jokingly mostly, if he was just as good at singing, for instance, country music, as he would be singing at the Lyric Opera and other operas, for instance. And he said, yes, he could. He was versatile enough. He thought he could do that. What about playing? If you're good at classical music, playing on the piano, do you think you could do any of the others, jazz, anything?
Well, it's a style. And so you'll see a lot of musicians do kind of cross all of those different areas. Typically, people tend to specialize, and so they spend all their time in one style, but I think anyone who has the chops in music can move between styles. It just depends on kind of what their predilection is.
So I saw Marvin Hamlisch, the late Marvin mm-hmm. Hamlisch, on the Johnny Carson show a number of years ago. I'm aging myself, I know. They're both deceased now. But he was quite versatile on the piano.
Yeah. He was quite amazing.
He played, of course, the ragtime mm-hmm. songs that he became known for. Right. But he also played some other numbers as mm-hmm. well. And Johnny Carson asked him at one point, now, you look right at the keys as you're playing. Is that something you have to do? And he said, well, no, of course not. I don't have to look at all. And so he went and smiled at the camera and never looked at a key
right.
Through the whole number.
Yeah.
So
got the feel.
That's right. It's the feel more mm-hmm. than anything else.
Well, and that's true of any musical style. It's just getting the feel of it.
And so once you've played in it, I wouldn't say you can immediately jump into any style, but once you've listened to it and you've played with some musicians, then you pick up the feel, then, yeah, you can move between styles.
Yeah, you read music, of course. Mm-hmm. I guess you have to. I'm always surprised at the singers who don't actually read music. They listen to it and
get it
figure
in their
out
head.
Where to get it. Yeah, I would think that would be extremely difficult. It's probably easier just to
I would imagine
it all
it's easier to take the time to do it.
That's
yeah.
right. Well, when you played piano, you had
you
to
have
learn
to.
Each note.
Yeah,
because each key on the piano is a different note
yep.
with variations with the pump and the foot
yeah.
and all of that. I could go into
there's
that.
A lot going on.
That's right. Well,
it's fun.
When you're pressing one of the pedals, you're and people ask this, so I'll go ahead.
Yeah.
When you press one of the pedals, what are you changing on the piano keyboard?
Well, there are three pedals on the piano. So one of them, there are what are called dampers. Basically, they push down on the strings, and so if you let up on a key, it will stop playing because the dampers are there. But if you push down that pedal, it lifts up those dampers, and so the string will just keep ringing and ringing and ringing. So you can keep playing, and the sound just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
The middle pedal is what it does is instead of picking up all the dampers, it just picks up the dampers on the notes that you're holding. So if you're holding three notes and you pick up those dampers, then those notes are going to keep ringing and ringing and ringing, but nothing else will.
Okay.
And then the final pedal, the soft pedal, actually shifts the hammers that strike the strings. It actually moves them over. So instead of striking all three strings, they're striking just the two strings. So it's a softer sound.
See, and as I look at the sheet music, I didn't see any instructions for the pedals. Is it there? I just didn't know what I was
No,
saying.
It's usually there. It's across the bottom of the...
Oh.
You see the staff of music, and usually you'll see lines across the bottom, and that's what's telling you to hold down those pedals or not. But especially the sustaining pedal that picks up all the dampers, that's the one that people kind of use as they want because it's easy to make a little shortcut if you want to hold something that needs to be your hand somewhere else.
Oh, sure. Well,
so you can do it how you want.
Oh, sure. Well, I should stop asking questions for my
no,
own
it's
benefit.
Fun.
This is what I do. I get into these things yeah. that I'm not sure about, and I just ask. When you're a talk show host, you can
that's
get away
what you
with
can do.
It.
Well, then, as your guest, I can pivot and say you'll hear the piano a lot this Saturday night
that's
when you're coming
right.
to hear the New Era concert.
To see Tour de Force. It's at 8 o'clock p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Church. Do you want to talk about the performers in the show?
Sure. There'll be two pieces. The first piece that we'll be hearing is by Georgi Ligeti, who's one of the most important composers of the late 20th century. He just died a few years ago. Hungarian composer, came through the war, and then was living under the communist rule and decided he needed to get out of Dodge. And so in 46, he smuggled himself out and came over to the West and began composing and quickly became one of the most important composers working. And the piece they're writing is from 1982. Piece they're performing is from 1982. Is for horn, for violin, and for piano. So it's a horn trio. And this is kind of his new style. He said, you know, people talk about the modern period and the postmodern period. He said, well, I'm beyond all that. I'm starting something new. And his starting something new was to go back to melody and to go back to music. We talk about music sounds tonal. So that's what we're used to hearing, how notes are related. He said, I want to go back to that type of music, but I'm going to pull in all these really interesting rhythms and just pile on rhythms and rhythms and rhythms. So he was listening to African drumming. There are other composers, a man named Colin Nankera, who wrote for player piano, he was listening to. And he just started playing with rhythms to see what he could do, having multiple rhythms going on at the same time. So it's really similar to a lot of what people are doing today in popular music.
Yeah.
It's really rhythmic and really kind of driving in places, but just absolutely beautiful.
I've noticed that, yeah. Really driving as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really characterizes a lot of New Era is the interesting rhythms. So
yeah.
A lot of composers are interested in shaking up rhythms today.
Yeah, another one of my odd questions, but
yeah.
applicable.
Of course.
Do most songs tell a story? Most numbers, I should say.
I would say about half and half.
Mm-hmm.
So the second piece that will be performed, the Axe Manual, it's called the Axe Manual because it was written for a man named Manuel Axe.
Oh. I assumed it was another kind of axe.
Yeah, that's how he spells it, is A-X-E, but it was written for a pianist named Emmanuel Axe and for a percussionist named Evelyn Glennie, very famous performers. And so he wrote the Axe Manual for the idea that they talk about the keyboard manual, the keys. He said, well, what if I can make this massive manual of having the keyboard but also having a percussionist play a marimba and a xylophone? So I have all that to play with.
Uh-huh.
And all of his music is very dramatic, and it tells a story. But he doesn't tell you what the story is. That's kind of the fun of listening to music, is You get to figure out what the story is.
Yeah, let's see, I remember this goes back to grade school. I'm bringing myself into the conversation again, which I probably shouldn't do. But they would play. They would take us to see what they then called the Kansas City Philharmonic. Mm-hmm. Even in grade school, they carted all the grade school kids out there. What a wonderful exposure that was to that music, I thought it was. And I can remember sitting in the music hall in my seat as a student, listening to, for instance, the Grand Canyon Suite.
Yeah.
And I had a teacher who would say, now, close your eyes, kid. And imagine you're rafting down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon and listen to the music. And it is amazing the picture that your mind will paint just listening to those numbers.
Well, I think that's the great thing about music is you bring your own experiences to it. And everyone in there has heard different music in their life. And so when they walk in and they sit down as an audience member, they hear this piece of music, they bring all those associations, things that they've done in their life, they may have heard sounds like that somewhere else, and you build the piece of music and get your own experience out of it, which I think is one of the most amazing things about music as an art form.
It really is. The show this Saturday night, Tour de Force at the All Souls Unitarian Church. The number to call for more information, the central ticket office number is 816-235-6222. They also have a toll-free number. So those of you out of the area that are listening, 888-286-4849. And, of course, all this information can be received by you also online as well at newear.org. We're speaking with Dr. Andrew Grenade, Artistic Chair of New Ear, and also an Associate Professor of Musicology at UMKC. We're talking about music, the kinds of things New Ear does. 21st year for New
Year. 21st year, kind of amazing.
Do you know the how and why it got started?
Well, the why was a group of performers who are still performing at New Year. There's a core of musicians. And they were looking around the Kansas City area and realized that there wasn't a place for contemporary chamber music being regularly played. And they thought, well, why not us and why not now? And so they started doing performances, and it slowly built and built until they established their brand, the New Ear, and for 20 years have been forging connections with all sorts of composers. So if there's a composer in the area, they want to meet that person and often will play that person's music. Of course, all of our composers at UMKC, they've played their music, but they have reached out really worldwide now and are always looking for the newest music to present it to Kansas City, as well as local music, as well as international.
Now, well, you've done it now. People will want to be sending you things.
No, that's about me. We do get a lot of emails saying, we've heard about you. We have this interesting piece. Won't you look at it? We'll give it a listen. Absolutely.
Should they send it to your... the website, I assume.
I go through the website would be the easiest way. There's a contact form on the website.
New Ear, a large E, N-E-W, large E, A-R, .org.
That's right.
If you have something, I guess, unusual that would still fit the chamber music way of doing things.
A smaller ensemble, absolutely.
Yeah, in this particular, you may have said it earlier even, in this particular piece, Tour de Force, how many pieces are there?
There's just two pieces. And actually, it's a very small group. So the first piece, the trio is three people, and then the Acts Manual is only two. So you're talking about five performers, and one of them is a pianist, and overlaps, so only four people that will be on stage. So that's why it's a lot of work for them to be performing all this music on Saturday night.
So. Is it much more difficult with such a small number than it would be with a larger orchestra?
It's just a different dynamic. And so with a large orchestra, so for instance with the symphony, they have Michael Stern who holds them together, a conductor. Okay. And when we have larger groups, even with New Ear, we'll have a conductor to help keep the group together. But when you're talking about a small group of two or three people, they're looking at each other, and it's really great to watch because it's like a conversation, and you're kind of letting yourself into the conversation of these people who are working together, and you'll see them making eye contact and non-verbally talking to each other while they're musically communicating as well. So it's very a very intimate thing, which is one of the special things about chamber music.
Yeah, is it much different than just a combo of four or anything like that? I mean, a contemporary combo of four rather than four chamber music members as well. Is the working together more... Is it more important that way when there's a small number than when there's a large number?
I think they have to take on more personally when they don't have a conductor up there keeping them together. then they have to work. If you've ever seen, for instance, a string quartet, the same kind of dynamic exists among a string quartet. Anytime you have a small number of people working together, then absolutely.
Yeah, well, I've seen groups that sing four-part harmony.
Oh, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah, you've seen barbershop quartet, you watch them catch each other's eyes, and they all dip together and up and down their body movements. Yeah.
So there's great difficulty in
all that nonverbal communication.
Yeah, it's called the name of the show is Tour de Force, 8 o'clock p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. I don't have a number for them, but I assume that the regular number for our new year will work as well. Is it in the church sanctuary?
It's in the church sanctuary.
Yeah,
and at 7:15, if you're interested, I actually give a talk beforehand to kind of let people know what's going to be coming and to invite them into the piece through words as addition to the music.
Oh, sure. That would be great. Okay, let's talk again about some of the upcoming. Now, this is later on next year, actually. The next one would come up on Saturday, February 22nd, New Year with the Bach Aria Soloists. There's four of them, right? I've interviewed them before. Mm-hmm. I believe there's four musicians and a singer.
There will be a... for our performance, we're going to have... It's called a speaking part. It's a dramatic piece. One of the things that we're exploring, since we're now in our 21st year, after the big gala of last year, we thought, well, where do we want to go? And strangely enough, we thought, well, let's look back to help us look forward. And so for each of our concerts, we're picking at least one piece that kind of has become a masterpiece, a masterwork of the 20th century, and that kind of anchors the whole concert. And then we're picking pieces that then are more contemporary that have benefited from that particular work. So we wanted to work with Bach aria, and we came up with this idea. There's a work from the 19-teens, since today's Armistice Day, it's from World War I, called A Soldier's Tale, written by Igor Stravinsky. And it's a fascinating piece that he wrote because he had not a lot of people to play at the time. This was World War I. It's a smaller chamber ensemble. And it has a speaker who basically tells you the story, and then the music illustrates the story. And Stravinsky at the time was very influenced by Bach and his music, so we thought this would be a perfect kind of collaboration. And so we're both bringing in, there are musicians from Bach aria soloists, there are musicians from New Ear, we're bringing in a conductor from out of town, and we're going to put together a performance of the Stravinsky, as well as pieces, more modern pieces influenced by the time of J.S. Bach.
Sure, yeah, all of the different ideas meshing together.
Yeah, just see how they all kind of resonate.
Yeah, I'll bet that would be very interesting. Then the final, I only have three listed if there's more. The final performance of the season is Saturday, May the 3rd. It's called Distant Travels. I have an idea of where they might be, but it is music that makes you think of way far off places.
Yeah, and music that was inspired by directly inspired by places other than Kansas City in a way.
Uh-huh.
Kind of the old work that we're anchoring is a work called The Varied Trio by Lou Harrison. And Harrison was a composer mid-century who got very interested in music of East Asia. And so he traveled to Japan and he learned how to play the shakuhachi. And he traveled to Indonesia and the gamelan orchestra of Indonesia. He just fell in love with, and he came back, and he actually built, he and his partner built an American gamelan out of trash cans and all sorts of different just industrial quality material from the United States. And so the piece, The Varied Trio, is influenced by East Asian music, and it has the percussionist plays rice bowls, all these interesting kinds of things from East Asia. And a composer, contemporary composer who's really influenced by him is a man named John Luther Adams, who lives in Alaska. And so all his music sounds like Alaska. He wrote this huge set that will be most of the concert called Songbird Songs. And it's for three flutes and three percussion. And Songbird Songs, you can imagine, he went out in nature and he listened to the songs of the birds around him and he made pieces out of them. And so we're going to transport you to Alaska, a place most of us haven't been.
That's right.
Through that piece.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? The birds.
Yeah, the birds.
If you think about that, that's really amazing, isn't it? How the sounds they make, just the natural sounds, they have such a musical quality to them. They often will mesh with each other. You'll hear birds actually singing to each other. I guess in their minds, their brains aren't as our brains are. I guess they're speaking with each other
absolutely.
In their own way. But it has such a musical quality about it.
And a lot of composers have been really influenced by the sound of the birds. There's a composer mid-century named French composer, Olivier Messiaen, who wrote an entire piece that takes place over the course of a day. I mean, it's a compressed day, but and he starts in the nighttime, and as the day progresses, you hear the different sounds of the birds. So you'll hear the morning birds as they're waking up. You'll hear all the birds chattering in the daytime, and then it calms down at the end. Just painting a picture of the birds, because he thought the melodies they created were just beautiful.
It really is. Well, you can learn all about the New Ear season at newear.org and the upcoming concert coming up this Saturday night, November 16th at 8 o'clock p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. Twitter Force. And we'll learn all about what's going on with that from the New Ear Contemporary Chamber Ensemble.
Absolutely. Got it that time.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
Dr. Andrew Grenade, an explosive man to listen to. Artistic chair of New Ear and associate professor of musicology at UMKC. Do they still have Blue Book test at the university?
Not in my school, not in my class.
When I went to MU, they had Blue Book tests.
Oh, I still took them in grad school. Absolutely.
So pay attention to everything you've heard.
That's students. Right. It'll be on the test.
That's true. Or you'll have to write it back to it at the test. Thanks so much for being
here. Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Their concert coming up this Saturday, November 16th at All Souls Unitarian Church. Thank you for being with us. The Jazz Insider is next. Great jazz. We love jazz here at KKFI. Jazz and blues especially. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Ho. We'll see you next time.